Tom, roll call, please.
DeAnda.
Here.
Jim DeMartini.
Here.
Mike Fisher.
Here.
Gordon Ford.
Here.
Darren Garrett.
Here.
Wes Hall.
Here.
Mike Lynch.
Here.
Ron Martin.
Here.
Clarence Willman.
Here.
Linda Stotz-Burnett.
Here.
We have a quorum. All of us are here.
Okay. Announcements. Tom, I believe you have some announcements.
Okay, we thank you for your patience as we attempt to accommodate public input with the Retirement Board's need to make policy decisions within a limited amount of time. Our understanding is we only have these board chambers until 4 p.m. this afternoon, at which time we have to exit because there will be another meeting after us. If you want to speak to the Retirement Board, you will need to complete a public comment form. If you want to speak to the letter from RESCO regarding the revocable health benefits subsidy, please indicate item number 6A on your form. If you want to speak to the administrator's alternatives and recommendation on retirees' revocable health benefits subsidy payments, please indicate item number 6B. Please give your comment form to Stan Sarah's staff, who are circulating here somewhere, Stan Sarah's staff. Please give your form to Stan Sarah's staff, who will then pass it on to the board chair. The chair will call your name when it is time for you to come to the podium to speak. Due to the time constraints that the board has in using the chambers, comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Comments also need to add information to previous speakers' comments on the same item and not restate the same information. Please turn off all cell phones. There is no food or drink allowed in the board chambers. You will find drinking fountains and restrooms by exiting through the rear double doors, turning immediately to your right, and continuing down the hallway past the break room. The one main issue facing the Retirement Board today is to make decisions on the retiree revocable health benefits subsidy payments. There could be a final decision made today by the Retirement Board on this matter. If the Retirement Board determines to make changes to the retiree revocable health benefit subsidy payments, retirees will be given at least 90 days written notice of the changes before the changes occur. Today's meeting is being video recorded and broadcast live via the cable TV public access channel. It is also being streamed via the internet. To view this meeting via the internet, go to www.stansarah.org and click on the link under the news flash, or go to the main page of the agenda and minutes. A video recording of this meeting will also be available on the Stan Sarah website, again, www.stansarah.org. We anticipate that the video will be available for viewing by Monday evening, July 13, 2009. In addition to the above, Sean Terrace, the immediate past president of the State Association of County Retirement Systems, or SACRS, has relayed information that on July 3rd, the Secretary of State declared that the renegotiation of public employee pension contracts initiative has failed to qualify to get on the ballot. The proponent of this initiative was Paul McCauley. And that's all I have.
I'd like to take just a moment to expand on that last item that Tom just announced. For those of you that did not have a chance to follow what's going on, there was an initiative that would eliminate certain state constitutional restrictions on renegotiating public employee pension contracts, which would allow vested pension benefits to be reduced for existing and prospective public sector employees. I bring this out because I think it's real important to realize that there are a lot of things going on within Sacramento. There are a lot of people that have talked about pension benefits. There are attacks on the current system that we know it. This was one proposal that failed, but it was there. Just as I mentioned in the last meeting, there were proposals to tax benefits. So we need to be aware of what's going on. Under announcements, I need to announce that item number 8, which is our closed session, we're going to defer and handle next time. So we withdraw that from our meeting. Any other board announcements? Anybody else? Seeing none, we'll move into public comment. And again, under public comment, any member of the public may speak on any item which is on the agenda. The board will only allow comments by members of public on the item on the agenda during consideration of the item. When the item is called, please fill out a card so that the chair can recognize you. The general public at the beginning of the regular agenda during public comment period may address items under the jurisdiction of the board and not on the posted agenda. However, any person wishing to make a presentation must submit the issue in written form with copies to the board. Presentations will be limited to 3 minutes. And again, we're going to try and hold people to the limit because of the time constraints, as Tom had mentioned. So we will go on with public comment, and I have requests from the public to speak during the public comment period time, so we'll start with those. Richard Leng.
Okay, I'm retired as the county purchasing agent in 1989. I started there in 54. Early 55.
Can't hear you.
Kelly? Oh,
can you hear me now?
Thank you.
I retired from the county as a purchasing agent in 1989. I started there in late 54 or early 55. And I've been there for quite a few years. And I enjoyed working there. We all worked together in those old days because we didn't have computers, like a big family. Now, I just had a call a couple of days ago from a lady named Marilyn Robertson. She is now 100 years old.
Can you back off the microphone just a bit, please?
All right. I just got a call from a lady named Marilyn Robertson. She is 100 years old. She started working for the county purchasing department in 1931, and she retired in about 1970-something or another. I don't remember exactly what. But she was very, very concerned about this thing going on of them losing this money that helped them pay for the health insurance and everything.
Excuse me, that's item number six. Did you want to speak under general comments or item number six? General comments are for things not on the agenda.
Oh, well, I just want to mention what she was calling me about.
Why don't we hold it for item number six if that's what you want
to
cover?
Number six, all right.
Okay, I'll put you down for number six. Thank you. Again, anybody who wishes to speak on an item on the agenda, that's fine, but otherwise, if it's general session, there we go. Okay. Lynn Betancourt.
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm a retiree. I've been on the board before as a member. The statements made by the treasurer would concern me because we shouldn't be worrying about things that failed. Those people who want to complain and are in the minority lost. Sorry. And a lot of lawsuits are going on. But that doesn't mean they win. They've lost. Let's go move on from there. Now back to the case at hand. We have a problem here, money. One of the problems here is the county has been benefiting from mistakes that were made, and now they're having to pay back, and that's very difficult. As a result thereof, this board has not taken action that it needs to take to further resolve those financial problems. Part of that, I think you're trying to deal with near the end of the meeting today. But I have another issue that you're not do not have on your agenda and need to have on your agenda as soon as possible. You're losing money hand over fist, and yet you have an assumption rate of 8.16%. That's insanity. Why are you assuming the county can continue to receive 8.16% when we all know they can't? It needs to go to zero. The truth and fact is the assumption is it's going to be negative this year. It's going to be negative next year. So why are we at 8.16% when all the other counties but two are less because of political pressure? Mr. Robinson came to this board and threatened to kick us out of PBGH. Well, we're out of PBGH now. So it's now time to take action. And you are doing a fiduciary duty here. I don't care what your loyalties are, how you got here, or any of those other issues. Today, you take care of this system. That's what your point is when you cut benefits. Well, it's time to make the county pay what's due. You gave them plenty of money already. You're going to give them some more money. We know that. But let's get the number right. The number right is the assumption rate. The assumption rate should be less than 5%. I believe it should be zero. And reset maybe in a couple of years. But it should be zero for now because we know we're not going to make any money. If we're not going to make any money, let's quit playing games with the numbers, folks. We need to share the pain. That's what you're doing to us as retirees. There's some old people out here you screwed last time. Last time we had an assessment, you came in and you decided, we're not going to give you your allowance, your extra cost of living. We're not going to give you your health care. That's what you warned us. It's going to go to zero the first of the year. And you told us a few years ago, we're going to cut it by a third. But nothing happened to the county ever. Time the county pay up. Thank you.
Gary Keeley's.
Hello, my name is Gary Kales. I'd like to make a few comments. One thing, you can't serve two bosses. Each one of you, whether elected or appointed, were appointed to the retirement board to represent the retirees of the retirement fund. It's good to cooperate and needed to cooperate with county administration, but your duty, your fiscal duty, is to the retirees and the retirement fund. You would be in error to try to serve someone else, and I think that's happening. In the retirement fund, I understand, was short, would be short $22 million. And instead of just giving $22 million to the county, you're looking to give $60 when actually they want it all. So that's not sharing the pain. That's taking everything from us. You don't have to give it all away. Thank God for the government retirement funds. They weren't optional when we joined the county and worked. It was part of what we paid and part of what our paycheck was. It was part of our contract. Is you pay into the retirement fund, and the county were paying the retirement fund, and the money went there. There's many in the private sector who would really like to have the type of fund that we have that was supposed to be protected. Their retirements were tied to their company, and when their companies went down the tubes or sank, so did their funds. United Airline pilots, we could name a whole list where people thought they were going to retire, their companies went under, and now they have nothing. But with our type of fund, we put it away, we put it into a separate fund. In the past years, many years ago, the county used to raid that fund saying, well, we're going to borrow from it, and they borrowed from it, but without the idea of ever paying back. Well, then a law came and changed all that. Now they want it all again. So I'm sure that the retirement systems and private sector, when they put the money into a fund, it's there for that fund. It shouldn't be raided upon by the company or others to balance their budget. And that's what's happening. The retirement board made good decisions in the past when and financial times were good, investments were good, and they were paying off. And we were making good money. We put money aside and kept it in the fund, and now they're looking to get those funds. But if the retirement board hired consultants, financial consultants, investment consultants, to invest that money and make money, which we did, then if you're going to give it away to the county, then shouldn't the county be billed for those costs? We paid for those consultants. We paid for that, and now they're going to take it. Why should we have financial consultants and investment? Why
Thank
even
you.
Bother?
I need to call you on 3 minutes.
Okay.
Please finish.
Why even bother hiring consultants if it's not going to be for our fund? Let them pay for it. So I hope each member will view what your responsibility is, that your number one is to the retirement fund, the retirees, and secondary to cooperate. Thank you.
Rhonda Bismar. I have you down for both public and item six, or is it item six only?
Just item six.
Okay, fine. I'll put you for item six. I'm sorry. You can wait for item six then. Okay. If you can wait for item six. Are you going to wait for item six or speak on public comment?
Oh, I'll wait.
Okay. Tom Broderick?
Good afternoon. My name is Tom Broderick, retired county employee. I want to talk to two things in general. The first thing is I think it's good to go into things with your eyes open. And if you don't, this would not be the first time that a policy decision has been made that ends up either shooting us in our foot or come back nipping us on the backside, or whatever other image you want. Should you move in the way that you've been talking and the way that the editors of a Modesto Bee want you to move, please understand that Stanislaus County will lose its ability to offer retirement as a way of easing a credit or a budget crunch in the future. No one in their right mind would retire a day before 65 if it's going to cost them. And so I don't know what the minimum salary is now, maybe $40,000. I think cops run $100,000 a quarter a year. For $6,000 that the retirement board would be unwilling to give towards a medical benefit, the county taxpayer will have to suck up the entire salary of employees who previously would be thinking about retirement. This will hamstring any effort in the future to reorganize departments or in otherwise make advantageous to the county payroll, because nobody's going to retire. I wouldn't have retired a day before 65 if you had made your decision several years ago, because I go in once a year and have polyps removed. My wife has leukemia. I would have been nuts to retire before I had at least Medicare coverage. Now, the second thing I want to think about, and I've been thinking about it today, is to what can I liken the decisions that you're making? And when I think about it, what I think about is a really, really frustrated divorced man who hates paying alimony, even though it was a prior judgment. And while the state would generally say, first in line, first in time, first in time, first in line, you know, there are folks that don't like paying alimony, particularly if it cripples their style with a trophy wife.
I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up.
And in this particular case, not only would you be taking money away that's alimony money for first in time, but you're asking that money to use for your honeymoon with your trophy wife.
I have speakers for item number 6, but I have no other speakers on general public comment, which is not on, on the agenda. So I'm last call for anybody who wants to speak on item not on the agenda. We'll move on. I'm sorry. Can somebody go pick up the slip?
Good afternoon, Board. There's something that's been bothering me for many, many years. My name is Mary Ramos. I live over in Newman. And that is these stands along the way that are selling items. They never have the price out. I wish the Board would pass some kind of resolution that if you're going to sell things, you have to put the price out. Because I've stopped at some of these stands, and the products are higher than what you buy in the market, in the store. So please consider that. Make them put the price out and enough big letters so we can see it. Thank you.
If you could come back for the regular board session of the county. This is the retirement board. That's not under our jurisdiction.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem. Any other? Okay, seeing no other item, I'll go on to consent item. On the consent item, I'd like to pull number 5B. Anybody else, any item they want to pull, or can I get a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent items minus item B.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second down there. Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? So passed. Number B was the report of our administrator, and I just wanted to clarify something. I noticed on the first page on item number 1 that there was a great deal of discussion about a series of meetings that were being held, and I do know that our administration spends a lot of time talking to the retirees regarding their benefits and what they need. I noticed that there was one meeting here with the budget staff on February 27th. I wasn't sure if that was the only informal meeting that was held with the county.
What item is that?
Under number 1.
Number 1.
On 5B, which is a report of our administrator of the series of meetings that were held. There was one informal meeting held with the county on February 27th. And I wasn't sure if that was the only informal meeting held outside of the formal meetings we've been holding, or if there were others, or how that was being reported.
These relate solely to the WIN presentation, the specific presentation of materials of the actuarial impact of the actuarial audit. So the specific presentation that was presented to the Board of Supervisors on March 10th, these relate to that specific presentation.
Okay. So my assumption is that just as you meet with retirees to explain things, you meet with other groups, including the county, to explain things that are not listed here.
We do emails, phone calls, or meetings as they request.
And they're not necessarily reflected here.
Right.
Okay. That's what I needed to clarify. Thank you. Can I get a motion to accept that item?
So move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes. Okay, we'll move on to item 6A. This is the retirees. Did you want to do an introduction before we allow the public to speak?
The item 6A is the letter from the retired employees of Stanislaus County, or known as RESCO. And this is the response that they provided. This is their input after receiving information from the retirement board at the end of April related to the potential for going to zero on the revocable health benefit subsidy payments. And by law, the retired employees of Stanislaus County or RESCO must have input to the board before any final decisions are made. And this is their input. This is a letter from RESCO for their input on that decision.
Okay. We have two separate items on 6, 6A, and 6B. Public can speak on either or both. I have public comments for item 6. I'm going to ask people to select whether they want to come up on A or B or both. So I'll have to call you and ask that specific question, apparently. So, David Greer, do you want to speak on item 6A, 6B, or both? If you want to speak on A, come on up.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I wasn't planning on being here until for the last couple of days when I started hearing the controversy about this. I am not a retiree of Stanislaus County. I am, however, retired from University System in Livermore. And we are going through countless rumors about what's going to be happening down the road with us because it is a much more of a state agency than a county. And I reluctantly commiserate with you folks on how to and what to do with this situation, because everybody's going to have to take a hit. And my son and his fiancée are already in the process of taking a hit. They both work for Stan State, and they're both looking at a two- or a three-day furlough every month, which is a 10 or more percent reduction in their pay, and they're just getting started. I don't understand all of the details of how the retirement system in this county works, but I just hope you'll be able to do everything you can to mitigate the losses, the potential losses to the elderly retirees in this county with this system. And I hope that down the road our fiscal situation will change and we'll be able to possibly recoup or at least make the burden less onerous. Thank you.
Rhonda Mismar, you have 6A.
Good afternoon. I'm the vice president of the RESCO Association, and I'm here to read the letter from Michael O'Neill that was sent to the board on June 24th. This is the RESCO response to the action that was taken on April 29th, 2009. The letter reads, "We are extremely disappointed in the action taken. The $10 million given to the county at the expense of the STAR COLA, cost of living adjustment, for approximately 260 of the county's oldest retirees is unconscionable. This group represents some of our most needy retirees. Moving $50 million from the medical insurance ad hoc fund is misguided. For years, these dedicated self-sustaining funds have provided a much-needed stipend to retirees to help cover escalating medical costs. Moving administrative costs for health insurance from the retirement system to individual retirees. At the same time, the board is also contemplating ending the medical stipend will adversely affect retirees. It may cause some to forego medical insurance altogether to balance their personal budget. This move by the Stansera board to help the county balance its own budget at the expense of retirees makes us question whether the board understands its fiduciary responsibility. The actions appear to be discriminatory because it benefits active employees only by keeping the county's contribution rate low. RESCO because it now finds itself to be in a previously uncontemplated adversarial position, is seeking counsel and weighing its option on how to proceed. RESCO fervently opposes the action taken and will continue to oppose any further move by the Stansara board to erode retiree benefits. Thank you.
Al Walsh, again, you have item 6. Do you want to speak on 6A, B, or both? B, okay. Richard Lang, again, 6A, B, or both? Okay.
Well, as I announced earlier, I started with the county in 1954, and retired in 89. That's 19 years ago. And in those days, we didn't have computers, and we worked like a big family together. One of the employees, I was a county purchasing agent for many years, and I was there. A lady named Marion Robertson was working in the department, and Gus Strom was a purchasing agent in 1931 until he retired, and then I became purchasing agent afterwards. But anyway, she retired many years ago in the 70s, I guess, or some. I'm not sure the exact year, but when she got this income help from that health insurance coverage and whatnot, she was really pleased and said this is really helping her a lot, because in those days they didn't get much from the retirement system, and she was hard in getting by. And then when she called me the other day, she says, if they take this away, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't afford any health insurance coverage or anything. And so my income is so low that I can't even get by. And so I don't know how a person 100 years old has been working for the county all those years that she worked is going to survive with this stuff being taken away from them. And so it's a very difficult thing to do that to these people, because they put a lot of effort and everything into the county all these years in helping build the county up to what it is today and helping it go and everything. And I know, as I said, we worked together as a big family in those old days because we didn't have a computer. So when I worked for when I was a purchasing agent in the county, I had 107 people on me just in my department. That's not the case today, but we worked like family. Nowadays, they just sit in a little cubicle. They don't even see each other. But anyway, it's a totally different world, and those people in those days were hard workers, and they're hard workers for the county, and they did everything they could for the county. So I hope that something can be done not to take this away from the retired employees. Thank you.
Gary Kayles. Gary? Again, A and B? Or A?
A.
A?
Okay. Just dogtail in on the letter from the RESCO board that it would be unconscionable to give all the money away and not to cover benefits that we earned money for in our investments, still have the funds there, can cover the losses for the county this year and next year, but without doing it all at once. I hope you'll be responsible and take those into consideration. Thank you.
Lynn Betancourt.
Very concerned that the RESCO board was not assertive enough in their letter. Maybe part of it is that they weren't paying attention to what's happening because it had to be put in by a certain date. Many things are happening in the world today. I know our chair was mentioning that, and I'm sorry if I went the wrong way on you, but the world is changing. hospitals today said they're going to contribute. They're going to share the pain. What we need for retirees is a bridge. We recognize you're probably going to reduce these benefits, maybe to zero, maybe for a period of time. If you do that, consider that we need a bridge until the new health care plan for this country gets established. You're doing it at just the wrong time. Let me give you a couple of things that we might want to take a look at in terms of how we want to make our decisions. We don't want to use the Eskimo plan. Put them on the ice floe and push. That's the zero plan. That's the nothing plan. You give them nothing. It was a discussion that we were a family. Well, it's a dysfunctional family, always been a dysfunctional family. Mom and Dad have been fighting all the time. We got board members fighting. And that's not bad for this kind of a family. And you're not going to be paternal to us. You're not going to take care of us completely. We're going to have to do a lot on our own. But give us a chance to get there. Don't push us out of the nest too fast. You're going from $320, $370 a month to zero in one fell swoop. That's one of the proposals. If, in fact, you believe in the values that our country has had in the past, you might want to consider these things. Charity, love, and kindness. Those values permeate through all cultures, through all religions. And you should be considering what you're doing to people. The dollar amount is there that you can do it. There's enough money in there to pay for several more years of benefits and take care of the county next year when they need it, because they're going to need it. We all know it's going to go to zero. Use a little kindness. Thank you.
That's all of the requests to speak on 6A that I have. If anybody has been missed, please signify. We need no action on A, is that correct?
No.
Okay. So we move to 6B. You want to do an introduction, Tom?
Okay. The board requested on April 28, 2009, at their meeting that we come back with some alternatives to the going to zero. And so we came up with some numbers. And what we looked at was we have a policy in place with the maximum $370 per month for those who have 30 years or more of service with Stancera. And that policy took quite a while to put into place and has been in place for about 3 years now. We find that legally and administratively, this policy works for us. We haven't had complaints or anything related to the policy or a need to really alter it in any way. So the alternatives that have been presented here are just changes in the dollar value, keeping the policy in place, but what happens if we change it to $330 a month or $300 a month, etc. And the board members were given those figures there. Also, the policy can stay in place and just put a zero amount in there if you don't want to pay it for January from January 2010 for the year 2010. We can keep the policy in place and go to a $0 amount for January 2nd, 2010. But this will maintain that the policy is in place. It will still be reviewed annually. It will still come back so that it's not just dead and over and done with forever and ever and ever, because my understanding is some would like to see this continue at some point into the future. So those are options that the board has. My recommendation, again, is to go to the $0 amount given the overwhelming dramatic decline in the value of the assets, market value of the assets. At one point in the year, we were down about 30%, and we had projected about 25%. It looks like we probably will end you. We don't have final audited figures yet, but it's probably closer to 20% than versus 25%. not as bad as some projections were even a few months ago, because we've had some good months. The last few months have been better than prior months, but still a very dramatically down year. And the losses could accumulate to close to $300 million on top of our ending year figure last year of about $176 million in the contra reserve. This will boost that to probably almost $500 million in the contra reserve and more than overwhelm any excess earnings that had been accumulated in prior years. So that's my recommendation, is to go to the zero. This morning, and this is additional information that we just board members just received today, this morning a board member questioned whether we could look at an alternative with an income level adjustment. So specifically, the dollar value was $40,000. If they could keep the revocable health benefit subsidy for those who made less than $40,000 a year from Stansera. So we staff was able to analyze this and actually come up with varying degrees of $20,000 a year, $25,000, $30,000, $35,000, and $40,000. What the current revocable health benefit subsidy is, given the maximum $370,000 now, what percent that is of the total as of July 1, 2009, and then on the reverse of that page, you'll see the various dollar amounts at the reduced amounts from $370 all the way down to $30 per month that was done in the prior alternatives. But this would just totally based on these figures that are shown here, being that 41% of the current health benefit subsidy goes to people under making less than $20,000, 51% under $25,000, and so on. And then those would be the projected annual dollar amounts given those parameters. Again, that recommendation is for the board just to go to zero as of 2010, but to maintain the policy as it is in place. Instead of having $370 a month, just make zero that monthly amount maximum, but then to continue to review this on an annual basis. We do have some copies of the one two-sided page item that was sent to the board. We have about 100 copies. If the audience needs copies, we have up to those. We could give up to six per row.
Okay, we'll go to the public comments. And again, if you can fill out a form if you want to speak. We have several people who want to speak on this item. So we'll go ahead and Lynn Betancourt, you want to go ahead?
I think the administrator's position is correct, that we ought to maintain this in the bylaws, and the policy needs to stand. However, I don't think zero is the right number. If you feel you need to make a cut, then we'll take the cut. We'll take the cut if you decide zero, obviously. If we're going to be the minority here, you guys get to decide. Yeah, okay, fine. But consider this. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. We were celebrating recently, July 4th. But you won't be celebrating next year if you don't have your health. And if our people cannot take care of themselves, especially those people who are between the ages of retirement and 65, or those people over 65 who decide not to have any additional health care other than Medicare, they're going to be down at the hospital on the county's costs. That's what one of the former speakers was mentioning. We're going to have people who don't take care of themselves. Prevention care won't happen. We get the flu bug that goes around and kills everybody in the country, which could happen. It's been pending now for about a year. What's going to happen if somebody chooses not to spend the $10 to get a flu vaccine? These are important factors. And I know that the country and the county haven't been able to take care of health care. We lost the county hospital. We've lost a lot of other resources community-wide and countrywide. But you know what? This is one place you can take a stand. You can make a small step. And it might not be that you're going to keep the full 370 for everybody. Maybe you're going to use this new plan of income-based. Maybe you're going to use another one of the plans. There were several others that were proposed. Maybe you're going to cut it in half or half of what it used to be, 160. It used to be 320 when we first established this with a reserve. It was at one time $40. $40 is better than zero. Anything's better than zero. And it will show, even if it's a token, that you care. And that you should do. Thank you.
A reminder to anybody who wishes to speak to fill out a form, Al Walsh. That's the computer ability. If you were online, you could click online and view it.
Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am not a retiree. I'm a husband of a retiree. You know, everyone is suffering across this country right now because of the economy, but most especially retirees on fixed incomes. You know, possibly you could recommend that the changes be in the future for the people who are working now so that it wouldn't be so hard on people with the fixed incomes. Also, you know, maybe you could talk to the Board of Supervisors and recommend that they show us the way to do it by giving up some of their perks and benefits. Show us the way. Be pals, you know. Help us to see our ways so that while they're still working, they could give up and show us how it's done. You know, I noticed in the B this morning that it was $80 million since 81. Well, that's 28 years. Now, if you average that out, it's $2.86 million per year average. And that, to me, I don't know, when they're talking about trillions in Washington, D.C., you know, $2.86 million over, averaging over 28 years doesn't seem like a lot to me with this benefit. Also, the allowance could be required to be used for health benefits in the future of even the retirees that would say that you have to use this money for retiree for medical benefits. You couldn't, you know, you'd have to show that you're buying medical benefits with this money rather than just getting it and nothing else. That way the county would know that that money is being used for what it was meant to be used for. Thank you.
Richard Lang.
He already spoke.
He indicated he wanted to speak on B as well.
Did I say I was going to say something again on?
You can if you wish. You don't have to.
Well, all I can say is I'm retired too, as you know, and whatever my income is now is what I get from the county retirement system, plus a little bit from Social Security. And if I lose this thing that you're talking about here of taking away, it's just going to help me not to pay my MID bill, my PG&E bill, or whatever you want to say, because I have a hard time getting by as it is. So I hope you do something better than that. And retired employees of the county, we all work together and put things together for the county. And all that money was put together for them. And so I hope it isn't taken away from them and used for somebody by somebody else for something else, because it should be done just for them to maintain them. And thank you very much.
Again, I want to make sure I have caught everybody that wanted to speak on item 6B. This is an opportunity for the public if you wish to speak. Otherwise, I'll bring it back to the board. One more time if anybody wishes to speak. I'm sorry. Can you pick up the slip? Go ahead and give your name. We can fill it out.
Good Good afternoon. I'm Rex Klein, and I've been retired for about 6 years from the Stanislaus County Coroner's Office. And I've been following the trends and the decisions that you have to make. I live with a woman who is my wife, and she is on the Modesto City School Board. And so I'm acutely aware of all of the budget crunches and the decisions that have to be made. I know these decisions are hard. But as I listened to some of these people speak, one of the things that really tugged at my heart was the man that talked about the woman who was 100 years old. Now, I'm young, and when I retired, I was told clearly that my retirement was fixed. The medical part was not. And I shouldn't retire based on the medical benefits because those could be taken away. And I did exactly that. But didn't realize over the next 6 years that our medical benefits, our medical premiums were going to quadruple. And so now I'm depending upon those funds. But at the same time, I'm thinking, I'm young. I can go out and work. But that 100-year-old lady can't. And others that are maybe a little bit younger than her cannot work. They're stuck. They're relying solely upon their income. And my encouragement to you is whatever your decisions are, I would encourage you to find a way to maintain as much of those benefits to those people. I don't know how you would define them, but that 100-year-old lady is a clear definition of somebody who needs these benefits. And if it's possible, and I would have to go to zero on my benefits to let that woman have her full benefits, I'd do it. I'm speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for anyone in the audience. But I'm speaking for myself because I know one day I'm going to be there too. And I would just trust that there'll be somebody that's younger than I that's willing to step up to the plate and say, we're in some tough times now. Things will change. They'll always get better. They always do. And when that time comes, things will be different. But for the time being, I think it's important that we take care of those who really can't take care of themselves. Thanks.
Again, I want to make sure, last opportunity for anybody who wishes to speak. Otherwise, we will bring it back to the board. Okay, we're talking about item 6B, so I'll bring it back to the board.
Mr. Chair, I for one would like to get some more information from legal counsel as far as the legalities surrounding a giving benefits to those that earn or receive, I should say, less than a certain amount of dollars in their pension, Stanislaus County pension. Of course, that would only delay this. You may actually have to attend another meeting. But I'm listening to all of the public comments, and I 100% agree. Everybody, I think, and I think our staff are very good at this, you chose to retire knowing what your said benefit amount was, knowing that the health benefit, health stipend was an add-on, if doable. So it's like I'm going to defend the board in terms of we're kind of the scapegoat. We're here, and we are looking at getting the blame for making some of these decisions. It was there. You were part of that decision. When you chose to retire, many of you retired before 62. Let's not even go to 65. 62. You made that choice. In a few years, I will be faced with that choice. All of us here probably will be faced with that choice. And we'll have to see, will that be enough for us to retire on? There's a lot of young folk in here. There are. And I absolutely feel for those individuals that did retire 30, 40 years ago whose dollar value has gone down tremendously. Absolutely. I'd be the first one to defend those individuals. But before we can go there, I really think we need to look at all of our options. We just got this latest option. And to me, it would be premature to make any kind of a decision until we get the legal facts of where we can stand. Because if not, to tell you the truth, we're going to get a lawsuit saying, okay, you discriminated me against me because you gave it to this lady who retired 30, 40 years ago, but you're not giving it to me. And you know what? I make $40,000 or $39,500 a year, and I'm not going to get anything. So before we get to that point, because it seems like that's now it's kind of, you know, brewing out there. It's like, who's going to sue who first? Anyways, I'd like to get all of our ducks in a row before we make a final decision.
Any other board member?
Mr. Chairman, we've been listening to, you know, the retirees, and we've heard a lot of things here. I'd kind of like just to summarize a couple of things here. Most retirees are folks that were very committed to their jobs and to the county. Many held very responsible positions with the county. Most were smart, capable, and were partly responsible for the county's successful and smooth-running operation. They were proud of their job, their department, and the county of Stanislaus. Many have been retired for many, many years. Many have been receiving ad hoc benefits continually since their retirement, some continuously for over 25 years. Now, suddenly, the board is giving them a notice of a huge hit. And the hit, as you know, has already taken place with the special supplemental COLA, which was not approved for this year. The second item, of course, is the retirees' health subsidy, with the announcement no payments for 2010. And then we got hit with another expense, which is the administrative cost to be shifted and added to the retiree monthly health costs. This has been estimated at another $9 per month. So this is a hit over and above what is already taken away. So today the board has an opportunity to show its cooperative effort with a compromise solution to the retiree revocable health benefit subsidy policy. And our retirement administrator has presented several alternate options. We've heard another one we just received today. And therefore, I'd like to make a motion that we adopt an alternate method, but I don't think we have the answer today. And I think I'd like this to come back and let the Retiree Benefits Committee look at it. I think it would be nice for the RESCO representatives to look at it. I think we have an opportunity, you know, to make an alternate option, but I don't think we can do it today. And I agree with Maria down there.
Does any board want to make a motion? Any board member or any other comment?
Can I make that motion? I thought I made the motion.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand it to be a motion. Go ahead and make your motion.
Well, I move that we establish an alternate option, and that we study it and bring it back to this board.
I second that motion.
We have a motion that's on the floor. A second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I think we know what the options are, and we know what the issue is. The issue is that there are no excess earnings, that we have a $500 million loss, that this is not money that has been set aside for this purpose. This is money that is actually obligated to the vested benefit accounts of the current employees and the retired employees. And it's easy to give away money that doesn't belong to you. And we would love to do this. I support defined benefit programs. I support ad hoc benefits when the fund is at a sustainable funding level. We are not sustainable, and we all know that. We've known that for some time. Mr. Betancourt's absolutely correct. We're having a meeting next month, actually, on the rate of assumption issue, because we're not going to make 8.16% next year, which means the gap and the deficit in our fund gets bigger. We all know this. So the first thing you do is you stop the bleeding. The administrator, who is a good friend of retirees, has recommended we adopt option C. And I have to say that I have to agree with the administrator that we need to suspend this program for the next year and hope that circumstances that none of us have any control over, you know, make the situation overall better for us. But I would oppose Mr. Hall's motion, and I would support the administrator's recommendation.
We have a motion on the floor and a second. Any further discussion before we go to vote? Yes.
I have a question. The way the motion was stated to me sounds like we have to accept the
alternative. Yeah, can you speak into the mic? I'm sorry, do we have a mic?
I'm sorry. The way that I understood the motion to be stated was that we have to accept an alternative. I think that's not.
Can we have a reading of the motion again? Can you read the motion?
To establish an alternate option, study it, and bring it back to the board.
So the motion is to bring back something to the board.
I think it was
not a requirement to accept anything yet.
It was in response to the latest information we got just as we sat down to this meeting. We got something in front of us. We can't respond to it until we get more information as to the legalities of it.
I agree. I just misunderstood the motion.
That's fine. That's what we're here, to clarify the motion before we vote. I want to make sure people know what they're voting on, because we need to vote on this motion. Any other questions or clarification before we go to vote? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, the fiduciary responsibility of this board is to the vested accounts. And that is what our responsibility is. It is not to extra benefits. And the core of the problem seems to be, in my opinion, a flawed excess earnings policy. And I do not believe that there can be any excess earnings unless we're 100% funded. And with the $300+ million loss that we have taken this year, and on top of the actuarial assumptions that were incorrect, we are nowhere near 100% funded, and we haven't been for some time. The excess earnings policy, which is how these ad hoc benefits are funded, is nothing more than a bookkeeping gimmick. It is funded even when the fund loses money through contra accounts. Today I'm going to support what our administrator recommended as option C, and I will oppose this motion.
Any other questions or comments on this motion?
I have a question. If this is delayed, what does that do in terms of the notice requirements that are part of the current policy?
Tom, can you respond to that?
What has to occur is, which they have in this process already, it would probably be good to have RESCO's input on any alternative that comes up. The final is that retirees have to be given at least 90 days written notice before a change occurs.
So if this were to go effect, the change at the first of the year, what's the drop-dead date for a change in the
September model? Letter would have to go out, a letter, before the end of September. Right.
But you have to give RESCO notice, so the board come back to the board, RESCO begin notice, they would respond.
Right.
And then,
but they have 90 days to respond, don't they?
Normally, we give them about 2 months. Last year, we gave them notice in June, and they came back to us in August with their response. This year, we gave them notice the end of April for an end of June response. So it's about 2 months that we normally give RESCO.
Plus, we could also call special meetings. I think this is a high priority item. I don't think anybody would be hesitant to come together again to address this issue. I'm not saying that we delay it until the end of the year. I'm talking about the next 30 days myself. That's what I have in mind. It can go before the Benefits Committee, or it can go before the full board to discuss once we have the facts.
Any other questions, clarifications, so we can go to a vote on this?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that if RESCO were allowed to put input to the recommendations, I think you'd get a pretty fast response.
Okay.
Yes.
Jim DeMartini.
No.
Mike Fisher.
Yes.
Darren Garrett.
No.
Wes Hall.
Yes.
Mike Lynch.
No.
Five opposed. Is that? Five opposed.
So the motion is defeated.
Motion is defeated.
Can I get another motion?
Yeah, I move we adopt the administrator's recommendation, option C.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
Well, before we move on this motion, I think there needs to be clarification as far as what actually this subsidy is. Obviously, everyone has understood it to be an offset to the spiraling cost of health insurance, and that's what we all hope that it's being used for, and some of the speakers spoke to that. They spoke to the issue of using this benefit clearly for the purposes of health insurance. We studied that issue some time ago, and it was studied even before that by the board when Mr. Betancourt was on it, and those were very good conversations to have, because we found out that unless we were to adopt a certain program under the tax code, that was just not possible. Some speakers asked, and the prior motion basically was in regards to, can we have an option to where it's tied to income levels, or can we exclude certain groups of retirees based upon years of service? We looked at that as well. Everyone who is in this system as an active member is a part of those quote-unquote excess earnings and is entitled to those excess earnings. And the information we got back at that time was that we cannot exclude one group from another because everyone is a member and participates equally. So those are the issues that we have to deal with. And as much as we would like to set up a system that benefits people clearly so they can use those benefits for health insurance as they were intended when the system was set up under the prior guidance of previous boards, and Lynn was instrumental in that. I think Lynn and the prior board members are to be complimented for setting up a system under the laws of this state, whereby when you have excess earnings, that all of the members participate equally in that process. They're to be commended for that. But clearly now, when we have a situation, and we do not like making these decisions, you have a situation where we're going to have an excess of a $500 million negative balance in this fund. And we've already been told by fiduciary counsel that our primary responsibility is to the vested benefits. And as the recommendation made by the administrator indicates, we're not going to end this program. We're not going to end the policy. We're just saying that right now our fiduciary responsibility is to the vested benefits of this system. Because as retirees, I'm sure all of us would agree the last thing we want is to find ourselves in a situation where the vested benefits are at risk. So I just think that's information for point of clarification, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity.
Anybody else wish to speak or ask questions regarding this item? Go ahead.
Unfortunately, the majority of the pain of this is going to be suffered by retirees and retirees that retired prior to enhanced benefits. So, you know, the board voted, and that's where we stand. But unfortunately, most of the pain will be suffered by retirees.
Again, we have a motion and a second. Before I call for a vote, any other comments? Okay, Tom, I'll ask for another roll call.
Okay, Maria DeAnda.
Yes.
Jim DeMartini.
Yes.
Mike Fisher.
Yes.
Gordon Ford?
Yes.
Darren Garrett?
Yes.
Wes Hall?
No.
Mike Lynch?
Yes.
Ron Martin?
Yes.
Clarence Willman?
Yes.
Okay. That takes care of item number 6. We move on to item number 7, Members Forum. I have nothing to add. Maria?
Nothing for me.
Anything?
Yeah, I would just announce for Mr. Betancourt and others, the committee that we're having a committee meeting on, what date is it, Tom, the committee meeting that we're going to explore
the
assumed rate of assumption?
August 12th at
10 a.m. Thank you.
That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Clarence?
Nothing.
Mike? Wes?
Pass.
I'll pass, Mr. Chairman.
Nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Ron? Okay. We stand adjourned.
Good job, Senator.